day of the Bible Seminar. It's going to be a beautiful time in God's Word again. Are you ready for the Word? What's the proof? The writing materials are with you, right? Okay, so that is how I know you're ready. Say, I'm ready. Say it very well. Say, I'm ready for the Word. Say, I receive God's Word this morning with simplicity and with openness of heart. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, we started the series on Revelation on Sunday. And we've been trying to pay a little attention to a few things in the book of Revelation. And we paid deliberate attention to chapter 1 and chapter 2. And by extension, chapter what? 3. So, if you are with your Bibles, which I believe you are with, you're talking with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, the book of Revelation chapter 1, read by the book of Revelation chapter 1, the revelation to John. Hallelujah. Praise God. The revelation to John. So, John, Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, he says something very important. He says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. Who's the him there? Who's the him there? John writes, okay, to show unto his servants things which must surely come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Are we together? The word there, angel, in verse 1, is that a supernatural being or a physical man? Supernatural, right? Beautiful. So verse 2 says, who bore record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ? Are we together? So the revelation of Jesus is the testimony of Jesus Christ in verse 2. And all things that he saw. So he says, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Now, when we say prophecy, what are prophecies? Utterances, right? Are we together? Prophecies are utterances. You see, it will interest you to know, I think I've done a brief study on that, a teaching on that rather, on who a prophet is. And I was able to come to a conclusion that a prophet is not first a seer, right? A prophet is not first a seer. A prophet is not first one who sees ahead, or let me say it this way. A prophet is not first one who sees your bank account, or who sees your email address, or who sees what will happen to Nigeria tomorrow. A prophet to God is first known by to the degree of what he says about God's word, or to the degree of God's word that comes out from his mouth. Are we together? So a prophet is not first known by knowing phone number. Are we together? A prophet is not first known by knowing account number. A prophet is not first known by knowing your house address without meeting you. A prophet is first known by the utterances of his, on his lips that point to the word of God. Are we together? Whilst the seeing and all of those things are by extension, offshoot or offsprings of that, yeah, the fundamental and primary way to know God's prophet is by the words of their lips. Are we together? So you see in the scriptures how God or how the scriptures define prophet is based on what they say regarding the word of God. Are we together? So John is a prophet of God and he speaks utterances in the book of Revelation. Are we together? Are we together? Praise God. Praise God. So, he says, hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Now, look at verse 4. It says, John to the seven churches, which are where? In Asia. So, it means that John starts his letter, or John, what John is about to write, is particular, or they are particular letters to a group of people. Where are those group of people? Beautiful. So, what does it say? It says, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. Are we together? Now look at verse 5. And from Jesus, who is what? The faithful witness. So is Jesus the faithful witness? Now what makes Jesus faithfulness, or what makes Jesus, or what makes Jesus the faithful witness? He says he is the what? The first begotten of the dead, or from the dead. Are we together? Now what's the word first begotten? Firstborn? First fruit. So the first begotten is the firstborn and is the first fruit. So the conversation of the first fruit as used by Moses, for instance, is to teach about the first begotten from the dead. Are we together? Now, it says, and the prince of the kings of the earth, it says, unto him that what? Loved us And what? Washed us from our sins in his blood. Are we here? So the prince of the kings of the earth, who are the kings? The saints? Yes? So he's the prince of the kings. You know, ideally, it's first a king, then a prince. Is that not true? That's the order. You have a king ruling a kingdom, then you have prince in the kingdom. But you see, there's a reverse there. He says he's the prince of the kings. Praise God. Praise God. He's the prince of the kings. What makes him the prince? He is the fact that he is the first begotten from the dead. Are we together? He is the first begotten from the dead. So his princehood is found in the fact that he is the first begotten from the dead. He now tells you, he says he loved us and washed us, are we together, from our sins. By what? His blood. So the washing of our sins by his blood is what makes him the prince of the kingdom of God. Are we together? Are we here? So he washed us from our sins in his own blood. Now we established that his blood is his spirit. Is that true? Is his blood his spirit? Are we together? So there was no liquid blood that washed you. Are we together? How many of you, Jesus' blood touched your body? So there is no liquid blood that touched your body apart from the one we buy in Goya bottle in Nigeria. Are we together? Right? And the one we sprinkle at different corners of our houses. Praise God. God is good. So, he says, unto him who that loved us and washed us from our sins in his blood. So, another way to read verse 5 is, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins by his spirit. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? So, the giving of his blood is the giving of his spirit. The Bible tells you in Numbers that the life of an animal or the life of the beast is in the what? The blood. Now, look at verse 6. In that resurrection, which is the first begotten of the dead, he had made us to be what? Kings and priests unto God and his Father, right? So is that unto God that is his Father? Is that it? Yeah, the word there, and Kai, that is, I mean, which is, right, Kai. So, and he had made us kings and priests unto God that is his Father, right? So God is the Father. Are we together? Jesus is the prince of the kings of the earth. What earth is that? God's earth, God's new Jerusalem, God's heavenly Jerusalem. He now tells you, he had made us to be kings and priests. What's the word there, kings? Or what does kings have to do with royalty? Are we together? Are we together? Are we here? So kings deals with royalty. Priest deals with what? Priest deals with what? Service. Right? So kings deals with royalty and priest deals with service. Right? That's why 1 Peter now tells you, for you are a royal priesthood, right? So your priesthood has a royalty. Are we together? That means you are a king and not just a king, but you are a king that is a priest that is born to serve. Are we together? So every king in God's kingdom is born to serve. Every king in God's kingdom is born to service. Genuine, true service. Are we together? Now, he says, verse 7, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindred of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Now, verse 8 says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the what? The ending. He says, says the Lord. Now, he says, which is that your Bible? Which was and which is to the Almighty. So, is that similar to Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever? Are we together? So, the Alpha and Omega is the Jesus Christ that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Right? He now tells you, says the Lord in verse 8. In verse 9, he says, I, John, who also am a brother, your brother, and companion in what? Tribulation, and in the kingdom of patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called what? Patmos. So where did this vision of Revelation happen, particularly? Island of Patmos. Now, it's interesting to know that when John says he was in tribulation, he's not figure of speech. Right? Because they had put John inside a boiling oil. Are we together? Boiling oil to peel off the outer layer of his skin. And when they saw he couldn't die, they just abandoned him in the Isle of Patmos. Are we together? Are we together? So when John says, I'm your fellow brother in tribulation, it's not figure of speech. You know, you cannot say it together with John. I hope you know. When John is talking to tribulation people, it's not you. Are we together? He had definite people in mind. Right? You see, we'll pay attention to what was happening in the churches in Asia at the time. Are we together? So John says, I'm your brother in tribulation. That means, hey, more like if you see my state when I'm writing this letter, you know I am tribulation. Are we together? All for the sake of the gospel. All for the sake of the gospel. Now, this is what you should learn from that. Despite the death sentence or the death period that John was in, he still wrote about Jesus. Are we together? Despite and in spite. You know, a lot of believers don't know that the book of Revelation was written by a man who was already dipped into oil. You just feel like he's one man. Why is he talking plenty, great? Say seven stars, seven beasts, elder. What is wrong with this one? But the real sense, he was going through tribulation for the sake of the gospel. Yet, while tribulation abounded, what happened? His faith in the gospel, his conviction of the gospel abounded yet more and more. And he stayed with the doctrine of Jesus Christ and him alone. Are we together? Praise God. So he says, I am your brother and your companion in tribulation, in the kingdom of and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the Isle of Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of what? Jesus Christ. Look at what it says in verse 10. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Is there trumpet? No. Was there trumpet involved? No. What did he hear? A great voice as of trumpets. Right? So a wise student of God's word needs to know where literal is to remain literal and where figurative is to remain figurative. Now, what did the voice say? The voice said, I am what? Alpha. Now, can you see something? The first thing you see about Jesus in the book of Revelation is the introduction of him as what? Alpha, Omega. The second time you see Jesus is the introduction of him as what? Alpha, Omega. Alpha and Omega, right? He says, the first that is the last. Right? What thou seest, write in the book and send it unto the what? Seven churches which are where? In Asia. Unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto what? Laodicea. And I returned to see the voice and speak with me, and being turned, I saw what? Seven golden sticks, and in the midst of the seven golden sticks, what did he see again? One like unto the Son of Man, clothed with what? Garment down from the foot, and the girt with the paps with a golden what? Girdle. Now his head and his hair were white like, was there wool? And white as snow. Was there snow? And his eyes were as a flame of, was there a flame of fire? Beautiful. Now, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of what? Many waters. And he had in his right hand seven what? Out of his mouth went a what? Sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. Verse 17 now says, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the. So he starts with the Alpha and Omega, ends with the Alpha Omega. Are we together? Right. Look at verse 18. I am he that what? Liveth. And was what? And behold, I am a what? Alive forevermore. And have keys of hell and of death. Now look at verse 19. It says, write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. It says, the mystery of the seven stars, which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks, right? The candlesticks, rather. It now says, the seven stars are the what? The what? Angels of the what? Seven churches. And the seven candlesticks are what? Seven churches. So, there was a man, or there was a Jesus, and what John said he saw was seven stars on his hand. Are we together? Are we together? And what did he say those stars represent? Seven angels of the churches. What did he see again? Candlesticks. Seven candlesticks. Now, what do those candlesticks represent? Seven churches. So, seven stars represent seven angels or seven churches. I will say it this way. Seven stars represent seven angels or seven candlesticks. Did you get that? You get that, right? Seven angels represent seven churches. Seven stars represent seven angels of seven candlesticks. Right? So you can say seven stars represent seven angels of seven candlesticks. You get that? Beautiful. So it means that when you see candlestick, what should come to your mind? The local church. Are we here? Never forget that. When you see candlestick, what should come to your mind? The local church. So, if Jesus writes unto God's palace and says, your candlestick will be removed, where should your heart be to? The loss of salvation or something in reference to the local church? local church. Are we together? Now, look at chapter 2. Now, it says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, write this unto them. It says, the thing said he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven, what? Golden candlesticks. Verse 2, what does it say? I know thy works, their labor, their patience, and how thou canst what? Bear them which. So it means that the church of Ephesus could not tolerate evil. Is that true? Is that true? Now it says, thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, but they are not, and hast found them to be liars. Now, how did he try them, or how are they tried, or how are apostles tried to now become or to be seen as false? It's they have tried in their words, the words that they say, number one, and in the solid teaching done in the local assembly. Are we together? So the solid teaching in the local assembly helps the saints to know what is or who is a false prophet. How do you know a false prophet, a false apostle? By the words that proceed out of their mouth. Praise God. Now, he says, and has borne them, verse 3, and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored, and has not what? Fainted. Please look at verse 4 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Are we together? So I have something against thee. What did Jesus have about them? They left their what? First love. Out together. Now we said when Jesus says I have something against thee, the word there again just says contrary to your real reality or contrary to your reality in the resurrection. Out together. So if Jesus says to God's palace, I have something against you, it means that so he doesn't have something against the believer. Out together. Why? Because he's the one that makes the believer or creates the believer. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the one that creates the new creation and the one that makes his spirit to dwell in you. So when he says, I have something contrary against you, or something against you rather, it just means that there's something about your conduct or something about your service that is contrary to that which will be found in the resurrection. Are we here? Are we here? Now, what did he have against them? They abandoned their first love. So, if I say, Sister Esther, you've abandoned your first love, repent. What does that mean? Go back to your first love. Are we together? Let's assume. Should we assume? Let's add so that you will not hold me against it in the court of law. Should we assume? Say your yes or no. I should assume. So let's assume, right? She had a first love, right? And let's assume her first love is the man that wowed her off her feet just while she was growing up. And she felt there was no other man on earth that existed. Are we together, right? And that man, let's assume also that he's a God-sent man. Assume, right? Right? And the God-sent man, God now tells you, you've abandoned your first love. Repent. What does repent mean? Go back to your first love. Now look at verse 6. Remember therefore, verse 5 rather, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first work. So it means that the first works in verse 5 is equal to the first love, or has something to do with the first love in verse 4. Are we together? Or else, so if you don't return to your first works, what will happen? I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou what? Repent. So when he says, I will remove your candlestick, is it that I will remove you from being saved? When you hear candlestick, what comes to your mind? Local church. So I will remove your candlestick really means that there's a reward for living your first love. What does that mean? It means that you cease to exist as God's local church. Altogether. So I will remove is not something he will do, but something that will happen as a result of what you are doing. It's more like a repercussion. Altogether. So I will remove thy stone. So I will come to thee quickly. We explained that over the week. What does that mean? I will come to thee quickly. What does that mean? Dear saints, I will come to thee quickly. What does that mean? Eh? What does it mean to come to them quickly? They will reap the repercussion of the action. Repercussion of the action. Okay. What does it mean when Jesus says, I will come quickly to you? Like checking your notes. And I thought this every day this week. Right? I will come quickly unto thee. It simply means that there's reward that I'm coming with.
Are we together? Look at Revelation 22.
Look at Revelation 22. Are you Revelation 22? Are you in verse 22? Chapter 22, verse 12. So look at what it says in verse 12 of chapter 22. It says, and behold, I come what? Quickly, and my reward is with me. Remember that? And to give every man according to what his work shall be. So I will come quickly is to give the reward for the work of man. Did you get that? So where are we now? Go back to Revelation chapter 2, verse 5. I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy what? Candlestick out of his place. Now we explain how in the conversation of the candlestick, there is the candlestick. What is the other word for candlestick? Lampstand, right? There's the candle, all together, and there is the light. Is the candlestick the lamp, the light? Is the candle 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 the light? Is the candlestick the light? Is the light the light? Okay, so the light is the light. The light is not the candle. The light is not the candlestick. Right? So, it's just very basic to look at it. If you buy a candle and put it in your house, and everywhere is dark. And so what is that? Can't you see? Does it make any sense? You know, when we're growing up, there's something you usually do with candles, right? You buy pig milk, you tear the cover, right? And you put the candle inside. So that what? As the candle is melting, it's building, it's getting a solid foundation. All together. So that pig milk stand becomes the candle stand. I mean the candlestick, which is the lamp stand. The candle is there. Can you have the candlestick and have the lamp, the candle, and not have light? All together. So you can have the light, you can have the candlestick rather, you can have the candle and not have light. So there are three things you must understand, like I taught over the week. There is the candle, there is the light, there is the candle stand. The candle stand or the candlestick is the lamp stand. So what will be removed? Is it light? No. Is it the candle? Revelations 2:5. Is it the candle? Check your Bibles. Is it the candle? What will be removed? Candlestick. What is the candlestick? The lampstand. What is the lampstand? The local church. Are we here? Right? So it means that the candlestick that will be removed will speak about what? A warning against the existence or the ceasing to exist of the local church. Why? Because they abandoned their what? First love. So what were they to do? They were to return back to their first love, that is their what? First works. Are we together? So the removal of the candlestick, is it Jesus that does it? Is their actions that makes them stop to cease or cease to be existing as that local church which is of Christ? Are we together? Can there be a church that has saints? Can there be a church that has saints and they are practicing things contrary to the teaching of Christ? Does it change the people they are saved? But when you want to count in relevance of the churches that will be trusted by Jesus, such a one that is not given to the doctrine of Jesus will not be counted as one. Are we together? So they were to return back to their first works. I will come unto thee quickly. Now, look at verse 6. Please, let's tread carefully. Verse 6 now says, but these thou hadst, that thou hatest. So it means another good thing they had was that they hated the deeds of the what? You know, when I'm not in church, I cannot hear people teach me how to pronounce. So now let me hear you. The deeds of the Gospi. Christian are saying. Yeah. The deeds of the what? Be loud, don't rub. These are the Nicholas. Some of the Bible say Nicholas. Yeah, the deeds of the what? Nicolai. Oh, yeah, Limo. Yeah, so you get where you get from, some of you. Yeah, Nicolaitans. Tans, right? So they had the deeds of the Nicolaitans. Nicolaimo. Yeah, Lightans, right? Which I also hate. So does God hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans? What are the deeds of Nicolaitans? That we saw yesterday, that Nicolaitans, I got it from two Greek words, Nikos and Laos. And we said Nikos deals with what? To trample upon or to overcome. Are we together? And Laos deals with what? People. So Nicolaitans, right, is a word used to speak about people who overcome people, who trample upon people, who dominate people, who try to control people. Right? So what did Jesus say to the church of Ephesus? Yes, you have that ability. Yes, you have that ability to hate that kind of mindset. And I hate it also. Altogether. So yesterday we paid attention to Acts 20, where it says that feed the flock which God has committed to your hands. Right? We paid attention to 1 Peter, when Peter tells you about how as an elder, you must be an example in what? You must be an example in conduct, right? So to say, right? Not being lords over God's heritage. Are we really here? I hope you are here. I hope you are not just saying yes to me. Okay. Now, he now says, verse 7, he that hath an ear, let him what? Hear what the Spirit said unto thee. Now, to him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life. Where is the first mention of tree of life in the Bible? Genesis, what does he have to deal with? The Garden of Eden. Are we together? So, in the Garden of Eden, what tree was there? The tree of life. Are we together? So, the tree of life is found in the Garden of Eden. So, if tree of life is found in the Garden of Eden, and Revelation tells you that what? I will give you to eat the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So, it means that the Garden of Eden was to speak about the paradise of God. What is found in the Garden of Eden? Tree of life. What is found in the paradise of God? So, what is the Garden of Eden? The paradise of God. Did you get that? All together. So now, what do you do to eat the tree of life? You believe the message of the tree or the message of life, right? So when you believe the message of the tree, what happens? You have become God's very heritage. So back to Genesis, what was Adam to do? Adam was to eat of the tree of life. What did he do? He rejected the tree of life. So by rejecting the tree of life in the Garden of Eden, you automatically eat the tree of the knowledge of what? Good and evil. Good, evil. Are we together? What does God supply in his garden? The tree of life. What is man to do with the tree of life? To eat of the tree of life. How does man eat? By believing. When man doesn't eat, what happens? You say man rejected God's offering in the garden. What happens by default? You've eaten something without eating something. Praise Jesus. So, he says, to him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Now, look at verse 8 carefully. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna, write these things here, the first and last which was dead and is alive. Verse 9 says what? Check your Bibles, please. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty. Dear saints, can Jesus see a church in poverty? Yes. So can the church be in poverty? Yes. So yes. When a church is in poverty, does Jesus acknowledge it? Yes. So yes. Are we together? Okay. So a church, a local church, can be in abject poverty. Not the heavens will not close. Are we together? The heavens will not close because of the poverty of the church. So that means the church is not called with a purpose to be materially rich. Let me say that better. Right? In the resurrection of Christ, there is no attachment of prosperity to that or to the local church. Are we here? See what he says to them. He says, I know thy tribulation and thy works. You know, some people will say, see, God doesn't see you as poor. Right? You might not have money today, but he sees you as someone with plenty of money. All you need to do is to take possession. Oh, God. They don't take possession of money like that. Nobody should be poor now. You see, he has done. Just all you need to do is just receive. I receive. I lay hold. Lambano. See, when you're supposed to use Lambano for proper Bible doctrine, you'll be Lambanoing on money, man. You Lambano all in your mouth. Are we together? Yeah? You know, you see, grace is the hand by which God supplies. What is faith? Faith is the hand by which we receive from what God has supplied. So grace and faith has to be a balance in the Christian faith. Poverty has not come close first. You see, how some people even listen to those things and continue to listen is by faith. That is hope. You see, it takes a man of hope to be listening to something that doesn't work and keep listening to it and be dedicated to it. And there are workers in the church.
Praise Jesus. And he says that they are in what? Poverty. Do you have a bracket in your Bible? What does it say? But thou art rich. Riches to God is not found by materialism. Are we together? It's unfortunate the church today has made riches to God, or to see those who are faithful to God's work as those who have money. Right, if you come to God's palace now, you don't have rock, you don't have chair, you don't have this one. God is not supplying their needs. The Bible says, I will supply according to my riches. The God you're serving is not rich. You know, some people even say, you know, God is not, how do we say it? God is not a poor God. See, riches and poverty in reference to mankind had nothing to do with God. Are we together? So, there is no point saying God is either rich or poor when it comes to materialism. Because it is man that determines or divides wealth amongst men. Men strictly are the responsible, sole responsible factors when it comes to the wealth of this earth. Are we together? That's why when you read scriptures, oh, we have 1,000, how do you say it again? God has 1,000 cattle upon 10,000 hills. Which of them have you seen? Which of them are you helping God rear? Which of them have you? Should be a priest? That means you are called to service. Which of the cows are you rearing for? Some of us, we've never bought cow in our life. Some of us will never buy cow in our life. It's not a cost. Cow now is almost 300,000. Altogether, to close your eyes and go and buy cow. When you are not eating, you don't have the rice at home. You are closing your money to buy cow. And you want your all your neighbors to know money has come. Money has come. And you're just eating beef throughout the whole Christmas period. Yeah. So the cows, the cattle on the beach, what is he just really saying? That in the resurrection, there is so much and surplus made available. Are we together? Yeah. If you see cow on the road, why don't you open your boot and say, enter? Just see cow in their number. Just look at them and say, those are my father's. I smell my father around. I sense my father around. They will sense you. You know. When the time is new, there's where they will beat you. All your five senses will stop. sensing. Yeah? You just go with one truck. Just open the boots. I was the boy that will deal with you. What small boy was the? He will deal with you. The cows will support him. So in the real sense, the cattle on the hills just speaks about the provision that God makes available in the resurrection, which is the spirit he gives to mankind. That means there's surplus, yes, in that spirit that we've received. Praise God. So he says, I know thy poverty. Please look at what he says next. He says, I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jew and are not, but they are the synagogue of what? What does he say to them? Verse 10, 1, 2, 3, go. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown. What does that say? Lest he that has what? Let him hear what the Spirit what? Says unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the what? Is there any promise of money because they are in poverty? So did Jesus acknowledge the church in poverty? So can a church be in poverty? Yes, no. You know, to interest you, and I said this when I was closing yesterday, out of the 7 churches that letters were written to in Revelation, only Smyrna did not have anything. Did Jesus not have anything against? A poverty church. So it means that doing God's will is not validated by what you have materially. Doing God's will is not validated. So God doesn't validate you by what you have in your accounts. Praise God. He didn't say, keep at it. Money is ahead. Do you suppose the church in Smyrna can keep confessing our needs are met every day and nothing is met? Yes, so. Are we together? So it means that a church that is doing well to God is not known by material prosperity. Is it wrong for a church to have material prosperity? No. Is it wrong for the believers to be wealthy? No. But you see, wealth is a man-made conversation. So is poverty. All together. You know, that's why I used to laugh at some people when they say, you know, poverty is a mindset. Poverty is a mind. You know, it's in your mind.
They told us a lot. See yourself the way you want to be seen, so that they will see you the way you want to be seen.
Oh, God. Poverty is of the earth. See, poverty is the king of this earth. No, no, because it dominates most people. Is it not true? What is the king of the earth? You know, I always say something. When you say poverty is a mindset, you are indirectly insulting those who are poor.
Oh, you didn't say it that way. Rashegu, you are just seeing it that way.
You know, if you come and stand in front of people and say,
I made 200,000 US dollars every month.
You see, my life didn't change until I began to see. See, poverty is a mindset. You've indirectly insulted everybody that is poor, that they have something. That something is wrong somewhere. Something is wrong with their mind. That means they're not thinking. You two now, you go back home depressed. I said, what am I not thinking? And then every day, you go and carry cardboard. You start drawing profile of how to get money. See, in this life, money is made by doing man-made activities. I went together. There's no money in God's kingdom where it comes to depositing accounts of God. And I always say it. I don't want to ever hear in God's palace that I give prophecy here. That one sudden money will appear in your account. You don't know the source. You don't know where it's coming from. You don't know where it's going to. You now come to your house and come and share testimony. If you, any money that enters your account and you don't know where it came from, if you spend it, you are a thief. You are a thief in Christ. Yes, you are a thief in Christ. You are a dedicated... Let me not go further. But how can money enter your account? You didn't, every money, you didn't try to trace if they didn't make a mistake. How does it mistakenly, what, you know, if you're an accountant, you know what I'm talking about. Even you said that you're opening your bank app, you want to send money to your brother or to your sister. You still know that when you put the right number, the name will still come up, but you still confirm. You see, maybe somebody else is bearing the name, but with a number that changed. That is you, just 5,000 naira. You just want to say 5,000 naira, you will say, Esther Willie. You have seen Esther Willie. You still go and copy the number. So, you know, that's what you don't want to say it over the phone. You send it as text message. So we copy and paste for 5,000 naira. Now imagine a banker who is being paid to count people's money now makes a mistake like that of billion. Anybody that takes, because God, now, does God, what is the biblical way of God meeting the needs of the church? When fellow saints decide in their hearts to give. So, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. How does God supply your needs? He supplies your needs when I give into the spirit of liberality I have received in resurrection and abound towards you materially. That's how God expects the church, the plan of the church. So, if God had all the money of the earth, why didn't he just say, you know, angel of Smyrna, send your account. Don't forget the source code. That doesn't go to another country. That doesn't go to another country. Don't forget the circle. Write the circle. Just give it to one of my angels. They will credit you. What did he say? He said he made faithful. It's not your Bible. He's there now. He says remain faithful. He says remain faithful. You know the funny thing? He now tells them, see, the devil will come and arrest you and you stay in prison for 10 days. Are we together? For a church in poverty. For a church in poverty. What did he now say at the end of the day? He says, if thou remain faithful unto death, I will give thee what? A crown of life. Now, we explained yesterday, the crown of life is a reward. Right? You know, when you read the book of Revelation, what we agreed on, we told you that if you do God's work, God will put a crown on your head. Yes, that's true. But no, that's not true. Right? Because the crown that God puts on the head of a man is in his words. The affirmation he says, the commendation he says from his lips. Are we together? Right? So imagine if somebody does a competition and now says, I crown you the winner of this competition. You don't have to put a crown on your head. You've crowned him with your words. So the crown of life is Stephanos Zoe. Right? Stephanos Zoe. And it just simply means that what?
there is such a thing that is regards to life that will be given in commendation to the life you've lived, so to say. Are we together? You know, we're explaining over and over. The word Zoe doesn't mean the life of God, right? Is that true? Yeah, the Zoe is not the life of God. Yeah, the Zoe is not the life of God. Zoe is a Greek word that is used to explain life. When you go through scriptures, you see several places where it speaks about the life of this earth and speaks about other kinds of life. Are we together? So we've looked at the church of Smyrna. Now look at the church. Look at verse 11. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the what? Churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Look at verse 11. Verse 12. And to the angel of the church in where? Pergamos. Where is Pergamos found? Asia. We are following. Beautiful. Now, this thing said he which had the sharp sword with two edges. He says, I know thy works. And where thou what? Dwellest. Even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith. Even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among the what? Among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of what? Balaam. We explained the doctrine of Balaam yesterday. What is the doctrine of Balaam about? The doctrine of Balaam is about the materialism gospel, covetousness, greed. Are we together? I took us to Numbers yesterday to show you what happened. Now, what does the doctrine of Balaam do? It actually sets a stumbling block in front of a man so that he can fall. Right? So the goal is for a man to fall. In the real sense, it's a stumbling block. That's what it tells you. He says, hold the doctrine of Balaam. Who taught Balak to what? Are you there? To cast a stumbling block before the what? Children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to what? He now says in verse 15, so hast thou, check your Bibles, also them that hold the what? Check your Bibles, the doctrine of the what? Beautiful, which I hate. So it means that the few things that God, Jesus had against the church of Pergamos was the fact that what? They had the doctrine of Balaam and the doctrine of what? Nicolaitans. Now what is the doctrine of Balaam? Doctrine of covetousness and greed. Are we together? What's the doctrine of Nicolaitans? The doctrine of what? Domination. Beautiful, you are there. To overcome, to trample on, to have dominion over. Now, we explain how dominion is to be had over things, not people. Are we together? Praise God. So when you see a controlling, dominating conversation from God's leadership or God's shepherd, it's the deeds of Nicolaitans that is operating or in operation. Let me give you a good example. Sister Rose, don't go to work tomorrow morning. Come to my house and wash my plate and wash my kitchen and clean my clothes. Then you can go to work. I'm testing your faith. Oga. That is who you are. They don't tell you, let's tell you the truth. Yeah? You know? So, there are some conversations like that that are not to be found. That is being lord over God's heritage. What it really means is that you are doing certain things simply because of your position of leadership. If I was not a pastor, is there a way I can tell Sister Rose to come and help me tomorrow in my house? Will I say it the way I just said it? So it means that I'm only saying it because I'm a pastor. Did you get that? Can I say, please, I cut my finger. Please come and help me if you are chanced. You know, I can, as a friend, say if you are chanced, and she will actually not be chanced and create chance. Are we together? Yeah, so the deeds of those Nicolaitans, they are deeds that deals with trampling over people. Yeah, you know, some people call it in the human world what you call narcissism, which is who is a narcissist, right? All together, and I heard there are plenty in the church today. I have not done research on that one. Are we together? But I heard there are plenty. Praise Jesus. Right? So he says, repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly with a reward and will fight against them with a sword. Are we together? Verse 17, let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. He that hath an ear, let him. Are you there? Are you there? Now, look at the letter to the church. I left you to come on. The church in what? Thyatira. Let's assume that's the pronunciation. He says, "This thing says the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet as of the what? Fine brass. I know thy works, I know thy charity, thy service, thy faith, thy patience, thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou what? Suffered that woman, Jezebel." Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Go to chapter 3. Chapter 3. He says to the angel of the church in Sardis, write, "This thing said he that had the seven spirit of God and the seven stars." Let me ask you a question. Does God have seven spirits? That's a monster now. Does God have seven spirits? So what will seven spirits really mean? GPCA, how far now? Eh? We've already said seven churches is candlestick. We said seven stars is angels. What will seven spirits be? No. The seven spirits of God, what would they mean? No, just think about it properly. We have a message to an angel towards the local church. I've given you the answer already. The seven spirits, we speak about just the utterances particular for those seven churches. You get that? Yeah? So the seven spirits, though, is not complex. Seven spirit of God is in reference to the seven messages required for each church within Asia. All together. So, Jesus, by his seven spirits, gave messages to seven angels regarding seven candlesticks. Clear? Did you get that? I'll say it again. Jesus, by his seven spirits, will give messages, give utterances, right, to the seven what? Angels of the seven candlesticks. That's what he tells you. Look at what he tells you now. He says, "I know thy works, and rather, these things says he that has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars." So the seven spirits are for the seven stars. Did you get that? Stars are who? Angels. So the seven spirits are for the seven stars, for the seven candlesticks. Did you get that? The seven spirits, hold on. Revelation chapter 1 says there is a message for seven stars regarding seven candlesticks. We've identified candlesticks, we've identified angels, which is stars. What is star? What is star? Seven stars represent what? Okay, let me make you understand better. What is angel? Pastor. So the pastor of those two, when he says, write unto the church, the angel of the church of Ephesus, is writing this letter to the pastor of the church of Ephesus. So it is by, the, so it's just a way of writing where you use those seven spirits. Each of those seven spirits represents, no, each of those spirits represents each message to each pastor. Right? So God doesn't have seven spirits, but there are seven messages to the seven pastors, to the seven churches. Did you get that now? Is that clear now? Beautiful. Right? So he now tells you that what? I know thy works, that thou hast a name, and thou livest and are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou art received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come unto thee as a thief. What is I will come as a thief? I will come quickly. It's the same thing. I will come suddenly. I will come quickly. What is I will come quickly? Reward. Now together. Now, thou hast a few names even in Sardis, which thou hast defiled thy garment, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are what? Worthy. He that has a year, verse 6, let him hear. Okay, look at verse 5. He that overcometh the same shall be what? Clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the what? Book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that has a ear, let me hear the Spirit say it unto thee. Do you see that? Do you not notice that every letter he says, hear what the Spirit says to the churches? So, what are the seven spirits? The messages, the spirits. Do you understand that now? Each of the letters ended with, hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So, the seven spirits of God are about the messages said to the pastor of the candlesticks. altogether. I'm beginning to fall in love with the word candlestick. Now, look at verse. I want to show you something now. Look at verse 14. Look at verse 13. After he speaks about the church to Philadelphia, we saw that yesterday. He says in verse 13, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what one of the spirits." Can we say that? What one of the seven spirits? Did you get that? What one of the seven spirits of God is saying to the church? You get that, right? So look at verse 14. "And unto the angel of the church of Laodicea," right? He says, "This thing saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, that is the beginning and the end." Hallelujah. Look at verse 15. Revelation 3, verse 15. He says what? "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. And I would thou that you were what? Cold or hot." So then, because thou art lukewarm. So what does lukewarm mean? Lukewarm really means you are neither cold nor hot. Now, we need to understand how he uses it. You know the way you use neither cold nor hot is different from what I want to explain now. Remember when we were growing up?
You all are lukewarm. And you know, you can either cook or hot. God says he wants spit you out. You are not his again. Yeah?
But look at it carefully. "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot." So cold nor hot is a figurative expression. Of what? Look at the next verse. He says, "So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." Because. Did you see that? Why do you have because? It is to explain what he just said. "I will spit you out of my mouth because." So it means that you only identify cold or hot based on the because. Not based on what you want to assume into the narrative. So what is the because? "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods." Are we together? He says, "And have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art what? Wretched, miserable, poor, and blind, and naked." Their sins. Were the members of the church of Laodicea, were they rich? They were rich. Oh, when they say, "I am rich and I have not need of nothing," it's not faith confession. It's not confession of faith. They had money. When you see money, they had the real paper money. And the unfortunate thing was that they were boasting in their riches. What did he call them? They are wretched, and they are what? Miserable, and they are what? Poor, and blind, and naked. Only them. Are we together? So can you see how Jesus recognizes a poor church and calls them rich? Remember now, Smyrna. He says, "I know your tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich." This one, they are poor because they are rich. Do you understand? They are poor solely because they are rich. Don't hear what I'm not saying. Don't hear what I'm not saying. They are poor because they are rich. So they are poor, they are called poor because they are boasting in their riches. Are we together? That's why we call materialism gospel. That's why Paul now tells Timothy, he says, to those who preach that godliness is gain. Have you? Is that what he says it? No, godliness is gain. Is it what? How does he say it? Gain is godliness. I knew there was something wrong with godliness is gain. Yeah, because he now tells you godliness with contentment is great gain. Are we together? What did he say to them? He said, those people that teach such doctrine, withdraw from them. Yes. How do you know God is in God's palace? The God of God's palace is the God of the kings, right? And he sends money for us to buy royalty. Praise Jesus. You know, and tomorrow we come again, we change all our chairs to blue. Next week, another man will just say, "Pastor, I've made money this month." Yeah, before you know it, we are changing everything, and we're saying nonsense. We now use more than half of our service or more than three quarters of our service to be exalting those who gave. What did he say to them? He said, "You are wretched. You are wretched." So it means that the word wretched is used to describe their conduct, not their person, because they were not actually wretched. Are we together? Let's call spoon a spoon.
They were not poor. They were not miserable. They had things working for
them. All things are working for. I'm sure that's their family song. Never ending, never failing. Praise Jesus. Right? So he now says what? He says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. You know that scripture in Job that says, thou shalt lay up gold as dust. You know that scripture now? Thou shalt lay up gold as dust. Yeah? Oh, gracious Father, I will lay up gold as dust.
Sorry.
Praise God. Laying up gold as dust was a scolding that Elias was giving to Job. What was he really saying? He was saying, don't consider your gold as riches and consider your gold as dust. And I will become, God was telling him, I will become your treasure. Not that if you serve me, follow me. Gold will be so plenty in your house, you will use it as your spoon. Gold will be your spoon. Gold will be your hair cream. Be your brush. Oga, laying up gold as dust is just, it's a stern warning. I've shown us before, right? Job 22. Right? So he says, now look at where he now goes to, where we are going. So we are entering our teaching for today. Right? So he says, I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, but that thou mayest be what? Rich. And what? White raiment. Go to 1 Timothy 6. This is the first time we're leaving Revelation today, right? Okay, so go to 1 Timothy 6. I didn't want to leave Revelation, but I wanted you to see something. I would have quoted it just now. Charge them which are rich in this world to not be high-minded. Yeah? But trust in God for that truth. Who gives true riches? Or give it all man offerings to enjoy riches. Look at 1 Timothy 6, verse 17. 1 Timothy 6, verse 17. It says, charge them that are what? Rich in this world, that they may be not what? High-minded. Nor trust in what? Is that an example of the church of Laodicea? Right? What were they trusting in? Uncertain. So what does Paul call riches of this earth? Uncertain. You know why? Let me tell you. I've seen people who were rich that are now, they became poor and are still poor. And I've seen people who were poor, they became rich and are still rich. And I've also seen people who were poor, they became rich and they are now poor. You see, wealth in the hands of man can flow out of his hand anytime if he makes the wrongest mistake. I know that when a man loses money, it's not that the money disappears from the earth. It is to enrich another man. Have you thought about that before? A man says, I lost 1 billion. It is not that he lost 1 billion and he left the earth. It is somebody who was enriched, or a group of people who were enriched by the 1 billion he lost. So what does Paul say you should treat riches in this earth as? Uncertain riches. Praise God. So there's such a thing as uncertain riches and such a thing as true riches. Please look at what he says next. He says, not to trust in uncertain riches, but to trust in what? The living God. So what he now says? Who giveth us richly all things to... What are the things to enjoy? Please, let's read the next verse together. Verse 18. 1, 2, 3, go. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. So what does the riches of God entail? Ready to what? Distribute, willing to what? Communicate. So what is uncertain riches? Trying to harness, and boast in that. Are we together? Is it bad to have money? It's not to, your voice is always louder when I ask that question. What's happening? Is it bad? This is the third time. It was consistent. I was like, I have not heard his voice today. Praise God. There is nothing wrong in having money. There's nothing wrong in looking good. There's nothing wrong in, there's nothing wrong in spending money. Oh, I want to spend some money. Spending. Yeah? Yeah, it's good to spend money. Trust me, poverty is not good. Doesn't look good on me. No, poverty isn't good. You see, there's an amount of money you start tasting, small. And you see, this is a type and shadow. This is a figure. This is a figure of what is to be held ahead. Let me not lie to you. Money is good. Money is good. Let's forget story. Let's leave matter from Matthias. Money is good.
but we don't trust in riches. What does that really mean? It means that when you don't have money, when you have money, your slant towards the doctrine of Jesus remains the same. Altogether, you get a contract of 20 billion. That should not mean your voice is amplified more in the church. Yeah? Sister Esther will just come and say, praise the Lord. Like, hallelujah! Glory! You will just run, touch the wall, come back. And the next Sunday too, that the same Sister Esther, what changed? Only her clothes. She came back to church on next Sunday. Praise the Lord! Rejoice! He said, the next Sunday too, another contract now come. They paid off the money. Glory to the Lord I'm serving. You see, Pastor, you see, we don't have praise time in God's palace. We need a time where we need to dance in appreciation to God. For you are too faithful to fail me. You are too faithful to disappoint me. What happened last week? Last week, Uncle. That's why the believer doesn't understand God's faithfulness by material prosperity. No. See, you don't get the contract and say God is faithful. No, it's not a Bible way to approach contracts. You know, somebody, they were fighting somebody online recently, and they were saying, I think she got a visa and she was thanking God. Really, truly, if your visa application is correct, except they follow you, you will get your visa. Are we together?
Wait, let me ask you. Are there people who have prayed for visa and they rejected them?
No, don't talk about yourself. Just think out loud. Just think out loud. They said there are many, but I'm talking about yourself too. If visa is the easiest thing to get, Sister Negi is laughing the most today. Yeah? If visa is the easiest thing to get, people worry will not remain in Nigeria because everybody will leave. You understand? Who will remain? I don't know who remain. Maybe the car errors. But in the real sense, there are some things that you don't use to validate God's faithfulness because you can either get it or not get it because man is involved. See, can your visa application be correct and look at you and say, I don't like this name? You see, you know, you can, you know, somebody can be going through depression in their house and still be coming to work. That's why all those kind of visa job, they need to have therapy. They should do like therapy 3 hours before they start working every day. So they know who is fit for the work. Because now, the person that broke your heart is Joshua. Somebody now apply to you. His name is Joshua. His father's name is Joshua Senior. His name is Joshua Junior. Joshua. And everything is complete. He just says you denied. And he send it back to you, and you'll be speaking your grammar. God save you if it's America. But they don't tell you what the reason they bounced you. I know that one is even worse. If it's in front of everybody, they will tell you denied. You know what? Every time I go to the UK TLS conversation, you know, always notice people that come. They're always jumping upstairs. Some of them, they are wise not to open their passport until they enter the elevator. No, there's one lady like that. I was just coming up to the elevator. So she was about tearing this stuff. She now met me inside the elevator. She couldn't open again. Before I call ambulance for her. So in the recent... No, it's the truth now. Man is involved. Are we together? Man can actually choose not to give you the visa. So getting a visa is not a proof of God's faithfulness, I'm sorry to say. Getting a contract that you wished for is not a proof of God's faithfulness. Because what happens to... That's why we say something. Imagine two members attending the same church under the same oil. And they are praying for the same contracts. And the contract is for one person. So imagine the same pastor. Maybe two of them are even leading their church. One is usher, one is choir. And they are praying the same prayer. So the pastor now says, declare anything you want this week. You see competition. Two of you are under the same unction to function. I says, declare anything you want this week. Two of you, the same contract. Unfortunately, you don't know. Monday morning, two of you now meet in the office of the chairman. And the first thing is thinking, who will God answer to? And that's where the voice of condemnation comes in easily. And I forgot to talk to us, give your tithe last month. Give your tithe ahead. Somebody was telling me, don't steal God's money. He will steal your joy. You know, people say these things.
So who should God answer as his two children? Are we together? So there are a lot of things that do not determine God's faithfulness. The Bible tells you in Revelation, it says he's the faithful and true witness in the fact that he is the prince of the king of the earth, in that he loved us and washed us by his blood. So, is God a faithful God? You are too faithful to fail me. When you sing that song, your mind should go to the resurrection. You are too faithful to disappoint me. I can assure you, when you sing that church in the midst of people, there are people that were disappointed that week. It's true now. There's some truth we try to shy away. Christians face disappointment even more than appointment. How do I say that one now? Yeah, Christians face disappointment even more. Why? Because other men are involved in setting other decisions. That is strictly what it is. Right? A man who is in a position of authority can choose to favor his cousin over you. You, if you are there, what will you do? Exactly. He's a director. He put all his own son in level 16. Without working, level 16. If you were there, where will you put your son? Where will you put your son? Level 17.2. You know yourself. So, see, there are some things that are just natural sentiments. It's not wickedness, it's not hatred. It's just, you're saying, why are you complaining a minister's son is rich? Wait. As against what? As against the poverty. A minister's son has a car. Look at him. How old is he? See the car he's driving. No, the social children, their parents just spoil them. You are in poverty. That is the voice of poverty. It's loud. That is the voice of poverty. That is what they do. You just be spoiling them at age 19. See, the car is already driving. Dear saints, see, that's why it's not good to condemn what you don't understand. If you were the son of a minister, you couldn't feed. How would you feel? If you're the son of a senior president, you can't afford. You imagine in your house, you are living. Maybe you're even living in your house. You are minimizing meter. You want AC from 10 to 1. And you have to, because you know the way the meter will read. Are we together? Do you understand? So there are some things that are just very, 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 very basic. They're just very, 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 very basic. You don't need to fight against it. Your time might come, it might never come. That's the way the world is. You know, I always say it, not everybody can be rich. Let me say it in a more appropriate way. Not every pastor can be able to feed themselves. It will remain like that for the rest of life. The solution to the problem of the earth is the gospel. Until men come to understand that the gospel doesn't support covetousness. Greed, because a lot of times greediness, right? Greediness, right? Covetousness. But if we don't get there, every pastor will never be rich. So when you see some pastors who are trying to encourage you to come to work on ministry, it's not easy. I'm telling you. It's not easy. And sometimes you lose some money, you have to still minister the gospel. I'm not talking figure of speech, I'm telling you reality. You lose heavy cash. Literally. And unfortunately, it happens on Friday into Saturday, approaching Sunday. And you have to come here and you'll see, say, with us. I have to still lead by example and rejoice. And I will run, but you don't know that. You don't know that the Lord is rejoicing out of my power. It's just the way it is. Right? But the truth is that your mind must never be on your riches. Else, you'll be considered as wretched, miserable, poor, blind. Praise God. Let's do a quick study on a few things now. So, look at what he now, go back to Revelation chapter 3. Now, see what he now says. He says, verse 19, as many as I love, I what? I rebuke. And what? I chasten. So, when God rebukes and chastens, how is that done? Or what is that out of? It is out of his love. Look at Hebrews. Let me show you something in Hebrews. Hebrews 12 was gotten from Proverbs.
Hebrews chapter 12, look at quickly verse 5. Are you there? Look at Hebrews 12, 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation we speak unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art what? Rebuked of him. For whom the Lord what? Loveth. He chastens and scourgeth every son whom he receives. If ye enduring chastening, God dealeth with you as what? With sons. For whom? What son is him with whom who the Father chastens not? But if ye be without chastisement, right? Whereof are all partakers, they are all what? Bastards and not sons. So you cannot be a child and not endure and not be able to receive chastisement. Now, how does God chasten people? It's there now. Look at it now. Look, verse 1. Ye have forgotten the exhortation we speak it. So how does he do it? With his words. Altogether, God doesn't chasten and rebuke with accidents. Right? With loss of job. No. I want to test you, so I have to carry your job for me. No, he doesn't do that. Right? He does it with his word. So that's why he says, ye have forgotten the exhortation we speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the children. The chastening is found in the word. So if you go to back to Revelation chapter 1, verse chapter 3, verse 19. So we're coming to an end to the letter now. But let me just tie a few knots around, right? So he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Verse 20. So, okay, look at verse 19 again. As many as I love, I what? Rebuke and chasten. He now says, be zealous therefore and repent. Now, there are four actions there. Two are for God, two is for man. Did you see that? Which two are for God? Beautiful. Which one is for man? Be zealous and repent. You get that, right? So out of his love for you, he rebukes you so that you can be zealous to repent. Are we together? Are we together? Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and I will sup with him. And he will be with me. Now, let's read 21 together. 1, 2, 3, go. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am sat down with the Father in his throne. He that has a ear, let him what? Hear what the Spirit. Now, let's look at a few words. The word there. Now, look at verse 21 and 22. What words? I want you to call out the words for me that you see. What words are consistent in all the letters? What phrases, what words? Spirit, right? Another word? Churches, right? Another word? Overcome? Did you see that? To him that overcometh. Did you see that? So, let me quickly give you how they are written. So, look at Revelation. Just hold your, go to Revelation 2, verse 1. Revelation 2, verse 1. Are you there? Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, this thing saith unto him that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand. Look at verse 7. He that hath a ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that what? Overcometh, I will give you to eat, right? Look at chapter 2, verse 8. Unto the angel of the church of where? Smyrna. All together. Now, please look at this carefully. Please look at this carefully. Please, I want to say something very important. Look at verse 11. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Now, if you assume that the overcoming was a future tense, are we here? If you assume that the overcoming was a future tense, the word overcoming should not have been used for a church that didn't have rebuke and a church that had rebuke. Do you hear what I just said? I'll say it again. You know the church of Ephesus, the first church, it says, he that overcometh, I will give thee the tree of life. The second church, which is Smyrna, that they had tribulation, poverty, it still says, he that overcometh, they shall not be partakers of the second death. So the overcoming, if you have thought that the overcoming was because of the scolding, it shouldn't have said it to the church of Smyrna because they didn't have any scolding. Did you get that? So it means that the overcoming is not a future, but a done. Why? Because it fits both the corrected and the non-corrected church. Did you hear what I just said? Please, that's very important. Now look at verse 12. To the angel of the church in Pergamos, look at verse 17. He says the same thing again. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. To him that what? Overcome. And will I give to eat the what? Hidden manna. So is that a church that was corrected? Yes.
Was Smyrna corrected? No. Was Ephesus corrected? Yes. Was Smyrna corrected? No. Was Pergamos corrected? Yes. But did he speak about overcoming to all the churches? Look at chapter 3. Chapter 2, verse 18, sorry. 2, verse 18. To the angel of the church in Thyatira, are we together? Are we together? I know thy works in verse 19. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee in verse 20. He now says in verse 26, he says what? He that what? Overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Hold on. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. Unto the angel of the church of where? Sardis. I write all these things. Now look at chapter 3, verse 5. He that what? Overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. Are we together? Are we together? Now look at verse 7. And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, this thing says he that is holy, he that is true, and he that is the king of David, that has the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and he that shutteth and no man openeth. And that's where you get that prayer from. Okay. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. Are we here? Please check your Bibles. I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say that they are Jew and not, but lie. Look at verse 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, and try them that dwell on the earth. Look at verse 12. He says what? He that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple. Now, did they have any scoring against Philadelphia? Did they have anything against them? Check your Bibles now. He didn't say anything like I have something against you in Philadelphia. What does he say in verse 12? He that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. Now look at verse 14. And to the angel of the church of what? Laodicea. Look at 21. To him that overcometh will I what? Grant. Now the word there overcome, let's do a quick study. The word there overcome deals with what? A victory or to conquer. The word there overcome deals with a victory or to conquer. The word they overcome, he that overcometh, deals with a victory or to conquer something. So, if he that overcometh is a phrase that is given to all the churches, there are two churches that did not have anything to work on. But are they overcomers? So it would mean that to overcome will be a done deal that is similar to all the churches. Do you hear what I said? There is such a thing as he that overcometh, and he uses it for those, the churches that had correction, and the churches that did not have correction. So if we say for the church that did not have correction, it means that they that overcometh will be a done deal, a finished work, a sorted deal. I want to point your attention to something. So it means that it refers to an action that is what? Fulfilled. So Smyrna, who had no condemnation, but only commendation, he also says to them, he that what? Overcometh. So it means that he that overcometh is something that is common to believers. Are you here? Why? Because he's using it for a non-commendable church, or he's using it for a church that is scolded and a church that did not scold. Altogether. So it means that we overcame by faith in what has been done. Listen to what I'm about to say. It means that the overcometh is a done deal that is gotten or achieved by faith. And it is uniform across all the seven churches. Yeah? It means that the victory, right, he that overcometh, is something that has been done, yeah? Something that has been done that we receive by faith. I'll say it again. It means that the overcoming is the victory about something that has been done that we receive by faith. And that remains our reality forever. So let me give you a beautiful example, another example. So what should you see from this? It means that Jesus, in his correction to all the churches, still reaffirmed what they had as their eternal reality. Did you get that? I'll say it again. It means that Jesus, in his correction to the churches that had needed correction, still reaffirmed. So he didn't just tell the church that they don't have correction who they were in Christ. He told both the churches that had correction and the church that did not have correction, who they were in Christ. He now says, he that what? Overcometh. Look at Revelation 12, verse 11. The popular verse we usually read for testimony time. Testimony time! Overcomer's time. Praise Praise the Lord.
That one is for yourself.
Praise the Lord.
Ah, that's for pastor and his family.
Thank God who has done so much for you. You are hallelujahing him on your seat. Someone who gave you two legs. Someone did not allow you to run mad.
There's this Yoruba man like this.
And you know that things people want to hear to praise God. So you...
Let me just know what to say. You think I'm an atheist.
Look at Revelation 12. Verse 11. And they what? Overcame him by the what? Is that a done deal? So it's a done deal. So they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, which is the reason for their what? Testimony. That's what you say. The words. So the message of their testimony is because of the victory of the blood of the Lamb. Are we together? So the blood of the Lamb is the reason for their testimony. That means, and based on this, he now says what? And they love not their lives unto what? Death. So it is first an overcoming, then you finish yourself. You get that? Yeah? It is first an overcoming, then you take that overcoming to finish yourself. So that's why it says, they love not their lives unto what? That means they did not love their lives. And because of the testimony they have, they finish them. That's why you see most of them died in the face of persecution. Altogether. So the overcoming is a victory. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. 57. 1 Corinthians 15, 57. Are you there? But thanks be to God which giveth us the what? Victory. Is that overcoming? Yeah? Who giveth us the what? Victory, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the what? Do you see what I just did? Is that similar to what I just said? Overcame by the blood of the Lamb, then you are bound. Is that true? Are we here? You overcame by the blood of the Lamb, then they love not your life unto death. What does he really say? You have the victory through Christ Jesus. Then he says what? Beloved brethren, remain steadfast, be unmovable, always abounding in the what? The work of the Lord. Hallelujah. Observe something. Go back to Revelation chapter 2, verse 26 again. I want you to observe a few things. So he says in Revelation 2, 26, he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the what? Nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and the vessels of the potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my father. And I will give him the what? The morning star. Right? He that hath a ear, let him what? Hear. Look at 3:21. To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me on the throne, even as I also overcame, and am sat down with my father in his what? Throne. Look at Revelation 22. 22 verse 3. Revelation 22. Verse 3. Are you there? And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servant shall serve him. Right? Now remember, the victory of the Lamb is what brought in you service. Are you here?
Don't glow, don't lose out on me. We are still here now. Abby, we are still here.
Say I'm here. Say I'm learning God's word. And I'm getting better. Yeah, so he says, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and the servant shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their what? Forehead. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and what? Ever. Please look at what he now says in verse 16. I, Jesus, are you there? I, Jesus, have sent my angels to testify unto you these things in the what? Churches. I am the what? The root and the offspring of what? David. And the what? Bright and what? Morning. So who is the bright and morning star? Jesus. All together. So how did you learn that song? Yeah, you know the song? Sweet Jesus, how wonderful you are.
You ride it down the morning star. You a precious. Every time I think about you. Hallelujah. Yeah, you are brighter than the morning star. You don't know what you are saying. The morning star is Jesus Christ. Why are you trying to say he's brighter than himself? But I hope you read your Bible where Jesus says he's the morning star. So is that sorted? Beautiful. Right? So Jesus is the bright and morning star. What do you suppose bright and morning star will refer to? Yeah? Light? Bright, obviously. Star, bright, everything. Bright, say light. That's not what it means. But so to say, really. Yeah? So the bright and morning star really will speak about the authority of the believer. Are we together? Are we together? We were not able to finish a lot of things in this study, but I just gave you a tip ahead of time. So let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. He that overcometh, will it be the reality of every believer? So it means that when he says he that overcometh to Ephesus, that's your reality. You get that? When he says he that overcometh to Philadelphia, that's your reality. When he says he that overcometh to Laodicea, that is your reality. So he that overcometh is a done victory that is the reality of every believer. Did you get what I just did? So let's look at it again. So go back to Revelation chapter 2. Or before you go to chapter 2, look at Revelation 21, verse 7. Revelation 21, verse 7. Sometimes when you just listen to this, you just be laughing. I'll be twisting your mouth in error. So look at first Revelation 21, verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall what? Be my son. So this speaks about father and his family. Is that true? So they are not, so it means that there are certain things that are not rewards, but they are realities. Right? So the book of Revelation has both realities and what? Rewards. Are you getting it now? Book of Revelation has both realities and what? Reward. So go back to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. Let's run through it quickly. Revelation 2, 7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is what? Saying unto the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give. So have you received? What have you received? The tree of life that is in the midst of the paradise of God. So is that sorted? Lovely. Look at verse 11. He that had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Is that your reality? You get that? You shall not be hurt of the second. So is that uniform to all the churches? Beautiful. Look at verse 17. He that had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of hidden manna? Have you eaten of hidden manna? Right? And I will give him white stone. Have you eaten white stone? Say yes now. It has to be yes. It's a done victory. You are scared of white stone. I said, when I was preparing this message, I said, I know God's father will not respond to me. I will not disappoint. I know when I say white stone, these people will not respond to me. Look at all of you. You answered the first one, tree of life. Yes. Tree of life and white stone. Is it not the same? But because I've taught you, you can eat tree. You don't want to believe you can eat white stone. Or God, you beat the white stone. So to him that overcome, you shall eat of hidden manna, are we together, and shall what? And shall give him white stone, and in the stone a name, a new name. Is that not you? A new name is written. Is that not you? The believer. Are we together? Which no man knowing, saving he that what? Receiveth it. Look at verse 26. And he that overcometh, and keeping my works, will I give him what? Power over. Just going to swear to them, all power and everything unto me. Go in there for the name of fire. Preach the gospel, baptize the name of fire, Son of the Holy Ghost. Yeah? All the nations. So you have power, right? All together. Look at chapter 3, verse 12. He says, him that overcometh will I what? Make. Are you Revelation 3, 12? He that overcometh will I what? Make a pillar in the temple. Are you a pillar in the temple of God? Is that a done deal? Beautiful. It will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. Is that you? Is that you? That means you will never not be saved. Is that you? And I will write upon him the name of my God. Is that you? And the name of the city of my God, which is the what?
New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven for my God, and I will write upon him my what? New name. Is that you? Say, that's me. Now look at verse 21. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Is that you? Are we together? Blessed be our God who has granted us spiritual blessings. We are seated with him where? In the heavenlies. I learned something. Even as I also overcame, and I'm sat down with my Father in the throne. That's Ephesians. You get that? That's Ephesians. So everything he said to the seven churches is actually the same. Hidden manna is equal to tree of life. Is equal to what again? You will deliver from second death. Equal, I know you remember that one. The white stone. Right? And is equal to what again? The tree of life. What again? The pillar. What again? Power over the nations. What again? You know there was one, he said, I will give you the morning star. Look at verse 28. Are you in 20, chapter 2, verse 28? Are we what? So are you the, who is the morning star? Jesus. Have you received of Jesus? So is that your done reality? There's another one that says, I will not blot out his name from the book of life. Is that you? Beautiful. So it means that there are certain things that are unique to God's family, God as a father, and his family. So he that overcomes, I will give, is actually a way to reaffirm the rights and privileges of the believer. Are we together? He that overcometh is a way of reaffirming the rights and the privileges of what? The believer. Now look at chapter 5, verse 9. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. Praise Jesus. Praise God. Say, God is good. Look at Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. He says, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book, or thou art worthy to take the book.
You are worthy, my redeemer.
Ah,
who is saying you are worthy to be praised? Ah, you don't know GP version.
Yeah, so, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, and thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every what? Kindred. Are we there? Tongue, people, and thou hast made us to be what? Made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall what? Rule over the earth. Are we together? You know, remember we were talking about the land of tribe of Judah? Who said it? Elder. What did John see? The Lamb. Are we together? So the tree of life is equal to being saved from second death. Are we together? Is equal to what? The hidden manna, which is the white stone. Equal to what? The morning star. So are those given to every believer? Yes. Is light given to every believer? So is the hidden manna equal to light? Are we here? Is it equal to his blood? Equal to his spirit? Equal to the hidden manna? The tree of life in paradise of God? The same thing. Now, the crown of life, is that a right and privilege in Christ? Oh, you missed it. It has to be reward. Are we together? Don't just jump. Are we together? So the crown of life, Stephanos Zoe, is a reward that you have got. Remember we read it yesterday when we were teaching. We spoke about how Paul and Peter uses the crown of life. Right? Peter says it's the crown of glory. Right? Paul will tell you it's the crown of life. So the crown of life is a reward, not a right and privilege in Christ. So on the last day, would there be crown given to believer? You and yes. No and yes. No in the fact that, you know, there's no coronation. I'll give you the crown. Imagine God will not do like that for how many billion people? People that have gone behind you, people that will still come ahead of you. Do you understand? Some of you say, no, God can do all things in 1 second. Okay, but the crown of the scriptures is going to be based on the words that are said. Are we together? So there's such a thing as the judgment seat of Christ, the crown of life. So it's not a right. So this refers to the reward for faithfulness. Right? Faithfulness to the work of ministry. So can a believer lose their salvation? But can a believer lose their crown of life? Or can a believer be without the crown of life? Can a believer lose his salvation? Can a believer lose his reward? Can a believer not have a reward? I think that's better, right? Before you say lose. Yeah. So salvation is what you've had, but you cannot lose it. Reward is what you get for what you do. Are we together? So salvation is solely his work, but the work of ministry, spiritual growth. Are we together?
conduct. Now, do you know that you can summarize all the corrections to the churches under spiritual growth? Conduct. What again? Faithfulness to ministry. What again? Service. Love work. Are we together? Yeah. So those are the things that we get rewarded for. But this, the gift of salvation is strictly and solely by what? That which we have received in the resurrection. So have we eaten of the good of life? Have we eaten of the tree of the good? Tree of life, rather. You say yes. Have we eaten of the tree of life? Have you eaten the tree in the Garden of Eden? Have you? So the tree in the Garden of Eden, you've eaten it. Have you eaten the hidden manna? That's the bread of life. Have you eaten what again? Have you been delivered from the second death? Do you have power? Are you clothed in white raiment? Are your names not being blotted of the book of life? All together. Are you a pillar in God's temple? Now, let's conclude here. We've had a long series on Revelation, right? So let's conclude, okay? So we can conclude that the entire letters written by John to the churches were about both their reality and their works. Is that a good conclusion? The letters written to the churches will be both about their reality and about their works. So it means that the letter of Revelation, I'll say it when you're done when you're writing. So we conclude that the entire letters were about the works of the believer and the what? And their reality, so to say. So it means that the book of Revelation is not a danger alert for salvation. Did you get that? I'll say it again, no worry. Yeah? The book of Revelation is not a book to warn about how your salvation can be lost, but a book to warn about how your works should align to your salvation that you can receive. Together. So, key doctrines that Jesus warned about, doctrine of Balaam, remember that? Doctrine of Nicolaitans. Altogether. What's doctrine of Balaam? Doctrine of greed, covetousness. What is doctrine of Nicolaitans? Dominating people. Altogether. We also have materialism gospel. Right? Laodiceans. I am rich. I am poor. I am rich. I have no need of anything. What is it called then? Wretched, poor, miserable, blind, naked. So, let me also put, have you finished writing? Let me allow you to write something. I want to say something very important. And you must get me very well. So, all the churches were commended. Were all the churches commended? Yes, now all the letters started with, I know thy works. Thou art patient, thou art faithful, thou art kind, thou art charity, thou art love. All of them were commended. Were all of them rebuked? How many were rebuked? 5 out of 7. How many of them were reaffirmed of their reality in Christ? All of them. All together. So the two churches which did not have any blame, one of them was in deep poverty. So that means that none of the churches were commended for beautiful auditoriums. So we read it together today now. And we read every word in between Revelation chapter 1 and 3 today. Did he say to the church in Philadelphia, I know that it works. I know how much you all are giving into the building of the structure. Did he say that? So it means that building of structure will not matter. Are we here? Was any of them spoken? Did Jesus speak about any of their congregation size? I know that it works. That was 5 billion in the whole city of Asia. So Jesus did not speak about how small or big their churches were.
Are you here? So you see, these are the things we learn from as a church. Whilst it is important that God wants the entire earth saved, but there are certain things you dare not joke with in the fulfillment of God's plan. Are we together? So they were strictly... So what is more important to a church? The doctrine of the church, the works of the church, not the structure. Did you get that? Because everything was about doctrine. Is that not true? Everything was about their conduct, their conduct, everything, and it falls back to what? The doctrine of the church. So what matters to God? The doctrine. What matters to God? The doctrine by extension in your works. So if anything itself, if you look at it very well, the wealthiest church was described as poor to God, and the poorest church described as what? Rich to God. Why? Because their attitude as a church for the people who were physically rich was poor. Are we? Now, mind you, every church that was rebuked and every church that was not rebuked, all of them had the Spirit of God. That means all of them could say, I am God's rich man. All together. But Jesus still calls some people poor. Why? Because their conduct doesn't align as that which should come out from the man you call a believer. So, let me say this again. The letters were written to believers to commend their works and also to exhort them to repent in certain areas. Altogether, the letters were written, I'll say that again, letters were written to believers to commend their works and to exhort them to repent in certain areas. So what do we see from the book of Revelation chapter 1, 2, 3? Right? Every believer will encounter when he will be required to give an account for what he has done. Every believer will encounter a time when he has to be required or required to give an account for what he has done. Praise God. I'll close with Revelation chapter 1. So it means that reward in scriptures is not used for salvation, but ministry. Did you get that? Reward in scriptures is not used for salvation. So salvation is not a reward. But there are rewards in salvation, and it's found based on the work of ministry. Altogether. So men are rewarded for their faithfulness to ministry. Altogether. So men are, let me say this way. So men are rewarded for what they do with the salvation they receive. Did you get that? I'll say it one more time. Men are rewarded for what they do with the salvation they receive. What is the reward? The crown of life, which is what? Commendation. What's commendation? To be spoken well. Dear saints, it's been a pleasure to bring God's word your way. Have you learned a few things here and there? So have I fulfilled what I promised you a while ago? Now we're going to explore Revelation chapter 1, 2, 3. And I did the Ujuru right. I did Revelation 12, I did Revelation 5, Revelation 7, Revelation 9, Revelation 11, Revelation 13, Revelation 20, 21, 22. So I've given you so much Ujuru. All together. But let me tell you, dear saints, there is still more in the book of what? Revelation. Praise God. Look at Revelation chapter 1 again. Revelation chapter 1. It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must surely what? Come to pass. Who bore record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things. All things are what? That he saw. Are we together? Say, Jesus is alive and is alive in me forever. Hallelujah. Say, Jesus is alive and he has called me into ministry. Say, Jesus is alive and he has called me to work for him. Say, Jesus is alive and he has called me a king and a priest. I have been called into his holy nation. So there is nothing that can take away my salvation. There is nothing that can take away my salvation. And because of that, I will give myself solely to service. So what does the book of Revelation 1, 2, 3 show us? It shows us that, you see, as saints, there's a time for correction. Are we together? There's a time for scolding. But every correction and scolding should be done from a place of what? Love. Are we together? Can you imagine Jesus telling the church, you are poor, you are wretched? I thought you'd have said Jesus should preach it in love. So it means that when the piece of scripture talks about preaching the truth of in love, it is not preaching the truth with a low voice or with fair words, but it's preaching the truth out of love. You know that scripture, Ephesians 4, when it says preaching the truth in love, and love also is to blackmail doctrine people. Teach the truth in love. But that, in the same Paul in Galatians calls people foolish. How can you call a nation foolish? Oh, foolish Galatians. Are you so foolish? In case you didn't see the first one. Are we together? So what is correcting about? Correcting is really about what? Out of love for the saints, you bring what? Correction to the saints. So it means that as your pastor, because Jesus will hold us accountable, there are certain things we need to correct towards you. So imagine an angel of the church of Ephesus paying attention to some corrections in the church, and yet the people in the church are saying, who are you to correct us? Are we together? The entire chapter 1, 2, 3 was strictly about reaffirming that which they've received and to correct them in the place they have once heard. Take out time and listen to this series again over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. I'm going to listen to it again this week. I've listened to almost everything I've taught. I'm going to listen to everything again in the coming week. That is what I taught. Right? I know I'm going to be better by listening to it. So if I who taught it will be better by listening to it, you will be better by listening to it again and again. Don't just assume you know revelation. Are we together? Yeah, I mean, today we could see even the things I've repeated every service day from Sunday till today. We're still asking. Some of us are still chewing gum. It's not a big deal. It's just the way God's word is. You only get better at God's word when you give yourself to it. You only get better at God's word when you give yourself with much deliberate commitment to it. So if God counts on you, it means that there are certain attitudes you need to submit and perceive or give or display. Are we together? If God counts on you, you will not live a lackadaisical life. Why? Because there is such a thing as the judgment seat of God. See, when you live your life, always remember that you stand in front of the audience of one. Are we here? Always remember that you stand in front of the audience of one, the great judge, the righteous God of the earth, of the universe, and he will judge thy works. So the book of Revelation 1, 2, 3 is to show you that God is a God of judgment. Are we together? And he judges, his judgment is righteous. Hallelujah. Dear saints, in the Christian faith, there are rewards. So there's reward for coming late. I hope you know. I hope you know. You didn't see that coming? There's reward for not coming at all. Are we together? There's reward for doing one day on, one day off. Some of us are like Karmajiji lights. Is that why you're laughing? You know, it's in that area they do one, two, on, one day off. Some of us are like that. You come this Sunday, I'm sure I'll see you next Sunday, but I'm certain, not just sure, I'm certain you're not coming to your person. Are we together? Why? You choose your Sunday to sleep. You choose a Sunday to do several other things. There is a reward, though. What is the reward? The crown of life. What is the crown of life? The commendation you will hear. Dear saint, think about this. You know, if as your pastor, you do something, I come to you and say, wow, sister, you did very well. You know, you'll be happy. I hope you know. You know, you'll be happy. Now, some of you I speak to, and when I say something, I'm like, ah, why are you blushing? That's me, mere mortal. Imagine hearing, well done, my faithful servant, from Jesus. Imagine standing in front of Jesus and says, wow, my servant, you've done the good work of the priest of the earth. Are we together? See, I will listen to God's word through the angel of the local church. Bow your heads and pray in the Holy Ghost for a few minutes. Just bow your heads